Code Winds, Episode 8. Guy Bedford discusses his new JavaScript Package Management and Loader projects, JSPM and System.js, at JSConf 2014. Welcome to the Code Winds podcast, where we cover leading-edge web developer news and training with an emphasis on Node, JavaScript, and HTML5. My name is Jeff Barcheski, and I am here to help you navigate the winds of change. In this episode, I caught up with Guy Bedford at JSConf 2014 to get the inside scoop on his awesome new JavaScript Package Management and Loader projects, JSPM and System.js. We discuss AMD, CommonJS, BrowserFi, ES6 modules, and more. I'm very excited about the work Guy has done with JSPM and System.js, which unifies everything and provides tomorrow's module loader today. In a world which seems to continue to divide, Guy has found a way to bring it all back together with room to grow for the future. The links and show notes for this podcast are available at codewinds.com/8, as in episode 8. Let's get started. All right, I'm here at JSConf with Guy Bedford, and Guy is going to be doing a talk on Friday on JSPM.io. And
yes.
So I'm excited to chat with him a little bit ahead of schedule and find out some more about JavaScript package management, where things are at today, what we can use, Guy has written a lot of modules and things around CommonJS, AMD, ES6, and so I just wanted to kind of chat with him today and find out, more about where he thinks things are going and what we can use today and how we might proceed.
Yeah.
Welcome, Guy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm kind of been working on a few projects around module loading and package management, particularly focused on the browser. And it kind of very much for myself grew from my frustration that package management isn't as easy as you feel it should be. And just like NPM makes it very easy to share code, just trying to see how we can share code more easily within the browser.
Yeah.
A few projects related to that. The first one is a polyfill for the ES6 module loader. It's called the ES6 module loader polyfill. It's on GitHub, and then building a module loader out of that, and then looking at package management for that kind of thing. So those are the main three projects. They're kind of very separate projects.
Okay.
But all approaching and trying to look at ways of tackling the same problem of sharing code.
Okay. So, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So as a some Node development, and I'm getting more and more into the browser. I imagine there's a lot of people that are starting to cross over like that. What are some thoughts you have as far as how we might go about these things? Should we jump towards CommonJS? Should we look at the ES6? Is it time to do that yet? What's some thoughts there?
Yeah. So what's really great about the Node ecosystem is that because they have a standardized module system, everything's CommonJS, and you have NPM. It's a really great ecosystem of modules. And on the other side of that is it creates a little bit of a rift with the browser, because you then have to do tricks to make those same modules run in the browser.
Yeah, right.
I think the approaches with BrowserFi are really great today, and a very good workflow for using Node modules and using modules in the browser. But I think as we look towards ES6 modules, we have to start considering other approaches.
Okay.
And so the approach that System.js takes, which is a module loader, is it loads all module formats.
Oh, wow.
So it can load CommonJS, it can load AMD, and it can load global scripts, as well as the new ES6 module format.
Wow, so one-stop shopping.
Trying to do that sort of thing. And it's actually something that's been designed into the ES6 specification itself.
Okay.
So the spec authors have done a lot of work working out this interop scenario. And it's entirely the way that they've designed in ES6 the spec to kind of bring modules together.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's an amazing opportunity to unify modules now within ES6. And System.js is simply a project that tries to implement that today in browsers.
Okay.
It works in IE8 plus, and great. It's actually suitable for production workflows.
Wow.
It is speculative because it's built on top of a spec that's not yet fully confirmed.
Uh-huh.
But it is a production load that you can use today in
wow.
the browser.
Wow. Okay. So. And would that be used only in the browser, or would you do the same kind of thing and load for Node as well, or does that not cross over?
It does run in Node, so okay. you can actually run it in Node.js, and you'll get exactly the same. It's a global code system.
Okay.
And this global, you can load something with it asynchronously. It uses a promises API.
Okay.
So you can do exactly the same loading on the server. How useful that is in comparison to normal Node requires, I'm not sure, and it's something that we could think about more
right.
in the future.
Right.
It's certainly something to be developed.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So this sounds like a pretty nice nice tool that you can really use whatever the library has been written in. You can work with it. Sounds like a pretty good. Pretty good solution.
Yeah, so it very much, if you're familiar with AMD loaders, mm-hmm. It very much picks up on that train of thought.
Okay.
So it's take the ES6 specification, combine it with an ES6 loader, and with an AMD loader, and it's basically picking up from the RequireJS, the CurlJS, and these kinds of projects.
Yeah.
And if you have existing projects that use RequireJS or something like that, it would be very easy to kind of think in terms of System.js and bring it into a project. So,
yeah. Okay. And does it does it do dynamic loading, or does it do a minimized concat thing, or how does I guess with ES6 you can do a variety of things explain to me how that specifically
okay.
works or.
The workflow is very similar to the sort of workflow you have in AMD.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in AMD, you have a separate development environment to your build environment.
Okay.
And the same thing kind of applies here. So when you're loading ES6, you actually transpile the ES6 in the browser.
Okay.
So you can write your modules and immediately refresh the page and see them running in the browser.
Okay, perfect.
When you want to go into production, you then do a build. And we have a build tool for System.js. And it's the area where we're currently working at the moment on improving the tooling, but mm-hmm. There's currently a simple builder that will wrap up each module format
mm-hmm.
and into a special type of callback call, just like AMD's define.
Okay.
And do a different type of wrap-up for CommonJS, for AMD, for globals,
okay.
and for ES6.
Okay.
So you can basically do one big bundle that wraps up all the different module formats.
Wow, okay.
And that's something that's still very new,
mm-hmm.
But it's a workflow that we're working on improving.
Yeah.
But it's there today, so that full production workflow can work out, which is kind of nice.
And would you invoke that flow with something like Gulp or Grunt or something, or Make or
very much so. It's designed as a low-level build tool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like you have RequireJS and the R.js optimizer. You have
yeah.
System.js and the System.js builder, but it doesn't even do as much as the optimizer. So it doesn't do things like exclusions and inclusions. All it offers is a very simple low-level API for doing whole file builds
okay.
and tracing.
Okay.
And then on top of that, the hope is that we would be able to construct things like gulp tasks.
Yeah, right.
And make it easier and add those exclusions and those options. And
okay.
But this is an area very much that's developing still at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, there's also other build tools being built. Bitobi's working on a build tool to
okay.
also work with the System.js loader.
Yeah.
And it's an area that's sort of growing.
Awesome.
So it's kind of fun to be involved with it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So how many people are involved in this effort, this System.js? Is it a
yeah.
large team or small? Or?
I started it just myself,
mm-hmm.
And it's reaching a point now where we're getting a lot of other developers interested in the project, which is really great.
Great, yeah.
Developers using it in their companies.
And it's
nice to see top developers from other companies interested in the project.
Which is really great. Well, it sounds like anything that's going to kind of unify all of these various things, which, you know, people get very, trying to think of the word, just, you know, very opinionated or very strong feelings
it
about.
It becomes divisive.
You want to
be able to unify and move past these petty debates about which,
right,
which way you want to do something. And,
yeah.
Because we should really just all be able to share code and then we can properly, you know, leverage off each other's work.
Right.
And I think it's such an important thing.
So
as opposed to having these inside debates over it.
So. Yeah, no, I agree. That sounds really good. So you've got a dynamic flow and you've got a build step, and you basically indicate the type of file that you're loading, and then it is able to put the right adapter to the file, or
So this is a tough problem. So you have a number of JavaScript files, and it could be AMD. Mm-hmm. It could be Common JS. It could be a global. It could be written in a UMD pattern.
Yeah.
It could have been written for Node. It could be a new ES6 module. So you want to be able to make that process easy.
Easy, yeah.
And the approach I've taken is, like, I don't want to have to think about it too hard as a developer.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to download a package and then manually configure this is ES6.
Okay.
And have to track all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the approach I've taken is to work towards automatic detection.
Wow.
So that is the main priority, because in development, you just want to get going with your modules.
Yeah.
If I want to write CommonJS today and write AMD tomorrow, it's not an issue.
Yeah.
So that's the main workflow. But then as well as that, we do offer the option to configure up front the module format and skip the automatic detection.
Okay.
And another thing is, there's a third way as well, which is using a meta syntax within the source file itself.
Okay.
And this is something that's frustrated me heavily in the AMD world, was this configuration that you had to manage. And it completely kills the workflow, because as soon as you have to configure something very carefully, and you don't know how to quite configure it, and then you have to manage and track that configuration.
Right.
So encouraging modular configuration by including it with meta syntax within the file itself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So those are the three kind of approaches, but it is a tough problem.
Yeah.
And that's why I've kind of had to take all three approaches with it, and then it defaults to the automatic detection,
okay,
which it works pretty well. So we've tested over a lot of libraries, and in UMD patterns, it'll detect the AMD.
Okay.
It works on jQuery source very well. It's been run against a lot of standard libraries, and it generally detects the right one. Obviously, you can't write it to be 100% perfect.
Yeah.
So that's why we do allow the manual overwriting.
Yeah. Okay. And if you need to load things from like a CDN or something, is that something you would configure, or just keep that outside of SystemJS, or how would what's the thinking as far as some of those other things that, you know? CDN loads or whatever.
Yeah, so JSPM at first grew from the idea that I was very frustrated with, as I said, with AMD, you have to configure things, and we're all configuring the same libraries.
Yeah.
I configure jQuery and Backbone and all these things, and everyone's doing it again, and none of us are able to share our configuration.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, can't we have a CDN or a standard setup for RequireJS?
Okay.
So I know what I can just load Backbone. I should just say require it. And,
right.
And that's the idea that got me started on JSPM.
Okay.
I thought, surely we can design a core set of libraries that are just pre-configured, and we don't have to do anything more than that.
Okay.
So that's where the meta syntax ideas grew from.
Okay.
So you basically allow things to be loaded without pre-configuration.
Uh-huh.
By inlining things like the shimconfig. With this meta syntax.
Okay.
Which has worked out really well, because what that means is JSPM is basically a package manager and a way of writing a CDN for System.js. Mm-hmm. And when you run System.js against the CDN, you can do just exactly that. You can just require things by name.
Okay.
So if I want Bootstrap in the page, I just say require Bootstrap.
Awesome.
If I want, you know, whatever library, just being able to require it by name, because I think that's such an important thing to making development really, really easy and simple to just get going.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Optimizing that workflow. So
that sounds really good. Yeah. Okay. What else should I have asked you that I haven't asked you about the project, or anything that you'd like to share related to any of this?
My apologies for explaining it badly. It's a project I've been working on for a long time and been thinking a lot about it and all the problems related to it. And every design decision has a number of causes, which makes it very difficult to give one solid explanation of it. But I think that, you know, the core idea is it making requiring really simple and mm-hmm. package management really simple.
Yeah.
But in terms of what we haven't covered yet, the package management side of JSPM, so even though it does offer the CDN functionality, it's an offline package manager first. So the idea is that if you have this kind of AMD style loader, you want a package manager for that that's going to work naturally with your AMD development workflow, mm-hmm. Which is what System.js is. It's an ES6 loader, very similar to those kind of ideas.
Okay.
So you want something that's going to be able to configure your loader for you and work with the loader. I think you have to design package management and the loader together. NPM was designed for the Node.js module loader. It had to know how the loader worked so that it could work.
Right.
It had to know the lookup rules. So by designing the package manager and the loader together, you can basically then optimize that package management workflow, which should be as simple as a single line install and a single line require.
Awesome.
And anything more than that, you've overcomplicated it.
Yeah. So that's great.
That was the goal with it. Yeah.
Perfect. So, is the project to a point where you would like to have additional people contribute to writing examples and helping and plugins and whatever, you know, build tasks and things like that? Is that
very much so? I mean, the point it is at today is it's conceptually complete in mm-hmm. the sense that it does everything I set out to do now.
Okay.
Which is a really great point for other people to look at it and tell me what they like or don't like about it.
Yeah.
And say, oh, we need this tool for it, or and where to focus the next development, because. It's very much an open book at this point. So it's kind of reached this milestone of having a full production install workflow. And now it's very much up to what people think about it and where people want to take it and what they think is most useful about it. And the more feedback and the more community around that, the better it'll be to be able to understand how to solve these problems and what people want.
Okay. So System.js is what's the website and maybe the repo location?
So System.js is located at it's a GitHub repo.
Okay.
The repo path is System.js.
Okay.
So it's the organization and the repo.
Okay.
JSPM is at jspm.io.
Okay. Great.
And
so then if people want to get going with that, they would go to the repo and the web page and read the instructions there. And is there examples or docs to kind of get you going on that site there or in that README?
So on the System.js homepage, mm-hmm. If you're familiar with an AMD loader, it very much picks up on those ideas.
Okay.
And you can easily get going with the loader today in projects or test projects.
Okay.
And it explains all the configuration and examples of the workflows.
Okay.
JSPM, the website, gives a workflow example from development to production.
Okay.
So you can see that. There's also a demo of the ES6 workflow.
Okay.
In terms of how you can write an ES6 module alongside jQuery, which is an AMD module, and then compile that into a bundle in the browser.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a demo.
Yeah.
It's linked to a little bit too deeply. Maybe I should bring it up. But it's that's at the JSPM CLI, which is the command line tool. GitHub page it's linked to from there. So
that
goes through how to use the package manager.
All right. Yeah. I'll try to put try to get those links from you and put those in the show
I'll
notes.
Send those through.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Okay. Well, great. I think that's exciting exciting new tool, and I think that really I think that this has been a big pain point for unifying JavaScript developers, and it sounds like this is a great step forward, you know. And whether it's going to iterate or change a little bit over time, we don't know, but it's a good start, and it sounds like you've really taken a lot of the things and brought them all together. So I look forward to checking it out and trying it myself.
Yeah, we're trying. So I think it's great to be able to work, and I've really enjoyed the process.
Absolutely. So where can people, best place to follow you on the web or Twitters or Twitter space?
I'm on Twitter. It's Guy Bedford, one word.
Okay, Guy Bedford. All right, perfect. Well, thanks, Guy. I appreciate taking the time here at JSConf, and hope have a great rest of your conference.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Guy Bedford discussing JSPM and System.js. The links and show notes are available at codewinds.com/8. And you will want to follow me at Codewinds if you want continuing coverage of JSPM and System.js. I have video tutorials already in development. If you'd like to keep up on the latest in web developer news and training, follow me at codewinds.com, where I have a podcast, blog, and video training covering Node and JavaScript. Until next time, this is Jeff Barczewski with CodeWinds. Music by Audionautix.com.